Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, hello.
Is anybody tired of Barbie yet? Is it too much Barbie? Is it too much?
I think it's because especially you are like in it, that it seems like a lot. But I feel like for most people who are not working in entertainment or media are probably enjoying seeing all of it, like in bits and pieces. Kirby is also saying this as she is in a Barbie. Where are you exactly in your Zoom?
I'm in Barbie's dream house.
Right. Okay.
This is Barbie's dream house. She has a very open interior plan. The whole vibe of Barbie Land is you can see in everybody's houses, because why would there be anything to hide?
Right. True.
So
it's so interesting to now watch, because Zoe is entering like her Barbie phase, I think.
I was going to ask, is she into Barbie?
Yes. I was like, wait, this is way too early. And of course, like, I think her prime years are, you know, maybe next year and year in the next years to come. Cause like for me, it was probably like, what, 6, 7, 8, but she's starting to now play with all the dolls, brush their hair. And then whenever she sees like Barbie signage and she saw like the billboard with Margot on it, and she immediately knew, and she was like, that's Barbie. I want to watch that. And I was like, okay, well, you can't, but you have a million Barbie shows you can watch on Netflix. I don't know if you've watched any of those, Kirby. You have to watch. So as one would imagine, the Barbie, modern Barbie of 2020s, she's a vlogger. Okay.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. She's an influencer. She's a vlogger. And so each episode, she has to come up with content to record and post. And she's got friends who are like helping her. I almost can't watch it because I'm like, this is too much. You know what I mean?
It's too meta that Barbie is a content creator. I mean, respectable career choice should you want to be a vlogger. However, I do think that we have enough of those.
Right.
And we really need to get back to Barbie doctors, astronauts.
Yes.
There's even a Barbie makeup artist. The Barbie makeup artist has a cut crease. She has like graphic liner.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And blue
hair.
I love that. Love it.
I will say there was an episode we were watching where it was like mermaids or something. I don't know. And the bad person in the show had this edgy haircut and, you know, was sort of like punkish looking. And I was like, that's not nice. I see what you're doing here, but that's not nice.
The hairstyles to depict villains strike again. It's blonde versus brunette. Were they brunette?
Well, it was dark. She was not blonde. I think there was like a, you know, a blue streak in her hair. I can't remember exactly. I'm going to send it to you. She's alternative. But I have to send you the link to this one, this one episode where she's trying to go viral. And she has a friend who's like really good and obsessed with analytics. And she's like watching Barbie's videos like spike. And she's like, okay, we have to like strike while the iron's hot. We have to do another video like this. It's just, you're just like,
do
oh my
the
God,
children understand what's happening? Analytics?
For sure. Zoe has no idea what's going on, but perhaps 7-year-olds maybe do. I don't know. It's weird. And
that's
made me feel weird.
I was saying about Barbie. So Barbie spans 5 generations. Boomers, Gen X, Millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha, which is what Zoe falls into.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Patrick's goddaughters were here a couple of weeks ago, and I took them to World of Barbie and like had them make their own Barbies at the end.
Oh my God, fun.
One is, I believe, 7 and the other is 11. Okay. And like the 11-year-old was at first acting a little too cool. Like, yeah, like why am I here? But then she like secretly was loving it. Yes. And the 7-year-old was like all in immediately.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy to see how this doll has been a staple for all of these different generations to play with and see as either as inspiration. And then also how the doll has just evolved.
Oh my gosh.
Barbie used to have friends that looked different than her, and they had different names. So like Teresa was the Hispanic one.
Yep.
There was Christy, who was Black.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Midge, her best friend. And Midge was created because Barbie was deemed like sexual. And so they were like, we need to make her less sexual. So they gave her a best friend named Midge, and Midge was discontinued in 1967, 8 years after Barbie was born. So they had to sever their friendship, but now
Asian Barbie, which I can't even, like, I was like, I'm pretty sure I had one, but I can't even, there's nothing.
I thought Teresa was the Asian Barbie, but then I was reading and people were like, oh, they can't decide if she's Hispanic or Italian. And I'm like,
she's like racially ambiguous. Yes. Just other. She's other.
She's other. She's not Black. She's not white. She's racially ambiguous.
I loved my Teresa Barbie doll growing up because obviously I identified with her. I mean, as if I could identify with either Barbies, but
right.
She identified with her because she had brown hair.
But what's crazy is that Barbie now, all of them are named Barbie. They don't have specific names. That's why the whole marketing is like, hi, Barbie, because literally everybody's named Barbie.
I was so confused by that, but that totally makes sense. Yeah. And then also looking at, so Zoe has a lot of hand-me-down Barbies from my niece, whose mom, my sister, used to work at Mattel for like over a decade.
Yes.
When Michelle got married, however many, 20 years ago, we all got our own Barbies as a bridesmaid.
Oh, cute. Cute.
So I have my Barbie and she looks, I mean, I don't know if she really looks like me, but anyways, to see the evolution too of the body shapes, obviously we know that like Barbie's waist is not as, you know, small as it used to be. Some of the Barbie dolls have hips, but I will say some of them, the newer ones look like they're YouTube makeup artists.
Oh,
very intense contouring.
In 2017, somebody commented on a YouTube video being like, you remind me of this Barbie, and like sent a link, and I went to look at it, and it was a Barbie that had the most extreme microbladed looking brows with blonde hair, and she was a curvy Barbie. And I looked at it and I was like, I actually think that this looks like me. And now when I look at it, I obviously don't look like her because I don't have blonde hair anymore, like platinum blonde hair. But I'm like, if there was a brunette curvy Barbie, I'm like on a hunt to find a brunette curvy Barbie.
Oh my gosh, no, we need them to make you a custom Barbie after all this content you've made for them.
Well, okay, so I actually talked to Amy Lou about this because Amy Lou has a Barbie likeness after herself, and I was like, I want to talk to you for a story I'm writing. You have your own Barbie. She's like, it's not up for sale. Like, it's not a Barbie you can buy. It's a Barbie where Barbie reached out for, I think, AAPI month and was like, we want to make a Barbie in your likeness. And so they send you all of these Barbie heads on a stick and make you pick like, okay, which one looks most like you? And then what color hair? And Amy admittedly was like, none of these really look at me. Look at me. This one maybe. And then they put her together in this outfit. And the outfit is like this purple pantsuit that like is very Amy. It's very Tower 28. Yeah. She was saying that, you know, it was exciting because Barbie was working with me and wanted to do this, but it's not like you can go out and buy that doll. Also, Amy made a really good point. When she was little, she like, you know, didn't like Barbie didn't look like her, but then they had this global line, and so she was gifted this by someone, and it was like Barbie in a kimono, and she's like, I'm from Minnesota and I'm not even Japanese. Like, what are we doing here?
Oh my god.
So she was just saying that it has advanced so much, you know. Barbie
totally
did get a bad rap. She's anti-feminist. The whole conversation and discourse around Barbie being anti-feminist led them to have her break up with Ken in 2004. And then everyone was outraged that she would get rid of him. So then they brought him back together in 2011. Wait, this is wild. Barbie has her own lifetime. She's 60-something really years old. She's 60. She's as old as my mom. She was born the same year as my mom, 1959.
She looks great.
Do you know the doll that Barbie was modeled after?
No.
So Barbie originally was modeled after a comic book character called Build Lily. And or the character's name was Lily, but the comic, I think, was Build something or another. German comic. In the comics, Lily was a call girl. She was kind of like voluptuous and she would seduce men.
Okay.
And so then the Germans decided to make a doll in her likeness as a gag gift. It's been blown out of proportion. They said she's a sex doll. She's not a sex doll. It's just like she's a very promiscuous doll that was given out as gag gifts around Germany. But when Ruth Handler, I guess, visited Germany and saw this doll, she liked it and thought, okay, why are little girls playing with baby dolls and being mothers when they could be like an adult doll and have a job? So that very first Barbie doll in the black and white swimsuit, that doll is based off of the Build Lily
character.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I know.
So she has very
Barbie historian.
A little promiscuous beginnings, if you will. But I kind of liked it because it was like in the comic, she wasn't, I think they called her a call girl. So like maybe she was selling herself for sex. And if she is like,
which also power great
to you. Yeah, yeah. Like sex work is work. She was getting her way through her looks and using that to her advantage. It wasn't the other way around. So it's kind of like, you know,
okay.
Get it, Barb.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I have not seen it yet, but I'm excited to see it with you.
And you're not going to take Zoe.
No, no. Cause it's PG-13 too, right?
There is a curse word, but they bleep it. And okay. It's really funny who it comes from.
I would I think I'll wait till it's streaming.
Okay.
I don't think she could sit through it.
Got it. Okay.
You know, I'll see it on, you know, with you on my own by myself and then make a game time decision. But I didn't even think I could bring her to a Little Mermaid yet.
Ah,
okay. I think it's just too long.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. The theater thing. And also, truly, the movie is made for millennials. It's not.
It's not for her.
The kids are not going to get it. They're not going to get it. Like, they're going to like it because it's pretty and Barbies, all the Barbies are pretty, but she's not going to truly understand the existential crises that Barbie has in this movie.
Yes. Love that. Okay.
Let us know your Barbie thoughts if you have any in particular, because truly, she's a controversial figure. Some people love her. Some people hate her. Some people are sick and tired of her. Some people want more Barbie content. So would love to hear more. All right. We were on hiatus last week because we were, well, not last week, but the week before, because we were traveling. We both just happened to be on trips to Asia, which was very exciting, except we went to different places. Sarah went to Korea and I went to Singapore. And while we were there, we got to explore our respective cities. And I came home with so many beauty products. Sarah got these incredible treatments. And so we figured we would do an episode dedicated individually to the places that we went. So we're going to kick off this episode with Sarah's trip to Korea. And then you'll have to tune in on Friday and get the tea on Singapore. And we're doing this because splitting them means that we can make the headline centralized on the specific place we went. And that is good for SEO. And if anything, we like good search engine optimization.
It's also, I love a part two.
We're doing two parters here. So Sarah, tell us about Korea. Where did you stay? How long were you there?
Okay. So I went to South Korea, in case that wasn't already obvious. I went with Glow Recipe.
No, you went to North Korea.
Yeah. So surprise.
Were
was undercover that part of, like, journalism? Undercover,
yes. Propaganda. Some kind of propaganda there.
No. Did not go there. I went to South Korea, which has been, Seoul has been like on my bucket list for a really, really long time, as, you know, a beauty journalist and being a K-beauty fan. And so Glow Recipe offered me this opportunity to take a tour of their labs. They have a new launch coming at the end of the year that is actually really, really good. But we won't talk about that until it comes out. Okay. But it was really fun for me to see how it's all made and have some time with Christine, one of the co-founders, because as listeners know, not all of the Glow Recipe products, many of them don't really work for Kirby and me. So it was really nice to be able to have the opportunity to try a lot of the products again and learn about it and again, see the labs. It wasn't just that. I got to go gallivant around Seoul with Stevie, who is their head of PR, and also Yasmin, who is head of content. And it was so much fun because even though I was only there for like not even a full 4 days, I feel like we covered so much ground, and I am just excited at hopefully my next trip to Korea because I feel like more prepared. But okay, if you are going to Seoul and you have never been to Seoul, there are 4 places that I think you really need to hit up.
Okay.
First one being Olive Young, which is their huge, huge beauty retailer.
Okay.
It's the biggest beauty retailer in Korea. There's over 1,200 stores across South Korea. There's, I think, 150 stores internationally, which I'm like, where is there one in the United States? I don't think so.
No.
It feels like an Ulta, Sephora meets CVS, because it's definitely like, it doesn't have your Solwasu. It's not going to have some of the more, the one that I went to did not have it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the reason people go to Olive Young is because it is more got that drugstore vibe, like an Ulta vibe, where it's got like mastige, but also drugstore. So that's why it's got the CVS feel. So maybe it's like a Target, because they also have like snacks too.
It sounds like it's more like an Ulta.
Yeah, it is. It does definitely feels like an Ulta. But then like some of the locations offer Diptyque and like MAC and Too Faced. So there's also other like brands outside of Korean beauty, but obviously they mostly carry Korean beauty, skincare, body care, perfumes, makeup, all of the things. And it was almost like so overwhelming when we walked in, because it was a Monday night and it was like 9 something. So we were like, oh, it's like not going to be busy. It was so packed.
What?
Yeah. Like I was like, what? And it was even like not a major Olive Young location. Like I think it was probably one of their smaller stores. And it was packed and there was a line and there were so many people shopping and swatching, and it was so bananas. I definitely got that vibe from like Seoul in general. It's just obviously it is a big beauty city. Like it is quote unquote the beauty capital of the world, right? Like everyone loves beauty there. And you could tell because people were shopping for sunscreen at 9:30 PM on a Monday night. So they also sold like vitamins and supplements. They had this little Beauty of Joseon stand with all the products. So I bought a bunch of sunscreen. Julian Sass was like, get the aerosol sunscreens because you can't get that here. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get those.
What do you mean? Okay. So can you explain that? Because I saw you post about that, but I was like, what do you mean we can't get aerosol sunscreens?
He said a lot of other things you can find from other retailers, but aerosols are nearly impossible to get internationally. I think he meant from specific brands. But okay. The ones that I got were not, I've never heard of these brands before. And one was actually like a specific Olive Young sunscreen brand.
Okay.
So that's what he meant. But so I got those. One of the things that I love from K-Beauty is their lip tints are my favorite. I don't know why they make them differently here, but I don't know if it's because I'm like, maybe I'm Asian and I have like my lips are different or something, but just the way that they are made there, it lasts on my lips. The color is super flattering. I got one from Peripera, and then I got one from this brand called Wake Make. And they're just so cheap. They're like less than $10, and I literally wear them every single day. So all that to say, if you are looking for beauty, You will know this, not just from me. Head to Olive Young, get all your shopping done there. They do have a website.
Yes, so I'm on it.
Yes. So you can buy Korean beauty products from Olive Young. I think it's probably marked up a little bit, and then you have to pay for shipping. I think you have to spend over $60. And then, you know, like a lot of other sites, like Stylevana, obviously you can get the same products there. But if you wanted to check out Olive Young's curation, you can definitely head to their website. So that was just like a really fun experience to like be among the people.
Right. You know? I wish I would have told you to get me a sun cushion because,
oh my God,
I was looking nonstop for one in Singapore and they don't have them.
Kirby, I was also looking, but I didn't look closely enough at the Olive Young because I was like, oh, I'm going to go again and find one. And I had no time, but I did find this other one at like an expensive mall and I didn't get it because it was expensive. But yeah, sun cushions, especially in Korea, are like really, really popular. And I guess they also are really popular for kids. And I was like, that's so genius because it's so hard to put sunscreen on children. So that is the one thing that I also did not get. Maybe we can find some on Olive Young and bulk buy.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. And for those of you who may not know what we're talking about, it's essentially a cushion compact foundation that you would apply to your face. But then instead of it being a shade, like a foundation, it's just truly sunscreen. And the reason why, you know, I've seen online like, oh, we can't get those here in the US. You can just like squirt your sunscreen into an empty compact and like do it that way. And you don't do that because sunscreen is tested within the package it's in. So you are risking creating a less efficacious product if you do that. So
totally.
If you go to Korea, stock up on these sun compacts, like get one and then get all the refills that you can.
Yeah. Okay. The next place you have to hit up is Oracle Clinic, which is the largest plastic surgery and dermatology clinic in South Korea. It's like famous and also infamous, I think. Mm. I think everyone from, you know, just the normies in Seoul go there to like the K-pop stars, politicians. It felt very much like more like a medical clinic than like even like a med spa. Like to me, like it didn't feel very fancy or anything like that, which it was fine. Like I wasn't looking for, you know, a bougie spa experience. I honestly didn't know what to expect, but it is more like a med spa than like a spa or a dermatology clinic, I should say. I walk in and there are books laying on the table of like before and afters. And it's just like crazy where it's like, no apologies. This is what this person used to look like. And this is what they look like now. And it's just like a crazy transformation.
Wow.
Patrick replied to my story and he was like laughing and I was like, should I come back looking like an anime character?
Because that would have been a choice.
Kirby and I think like one episode we talked about how it would be so much fun to go to Korea and do like a beauty trip, which they offer, where you can go to an Oracle clinic, get all your treatments done, plastic surgery, stay at a nice hotel, and then fly back.
Wow.
Which I was talking to my mom and she's like, oh, I want to do that. So anyways, so there's like before and after books and then all these people in the waiting room have the numbing cream on their face with like the like saran wrap on it just waiting.
Oh my God.
If this was a Thursday at lunchtime and it was packed, which again, I'm like, what are these people doing? Are they just here on their lunch break? And Christine was like, yeah, people just come in to like get a laser, get a facial during lunch and then, you know, go back to work or go on with their day. It was packed. It was two floors. And the first thing that you do is you get a consultation. And we got a consultation with like the man who owns the clinic. And he was like, well, what are your concerns? Christine was translating. And I was like, oh, you know, like, and so he was suggesting Botox. And I was like, I will not be getting Botox here. One, I'm breastfeeding. And two, if I got it without Kirby, she would be so upset.
No, I would actually be excited if you got it in South Korea. But I also understand the breastfeeding thing is big.
But then also, like, here's one thing. so many of them spoke great English, obviously, but like, I have so many questions when I'm getting stuff done and they weren't able to answer all of them. So it made me, you know, it's like, you
nervous.
You just feel a little nervous. So anyways, he's looking at my face and he was telling me like, I should get Botox here. Like he was like going after me. In your masseter? Yeah. Yes. In my masseter. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, and Christine was like, I don't think you should do that. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not ready for that right now. But then the whole clinic was promoting this new radio frequency treatment called 10-therma,
okay,
which is similar to Thermage, but they say that it is more effective and less painful.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's only, I think, available in Korea at this time, but I think Kirby's gotten Thermage before. I have not, but I think it might be similar in that it's like very, very hot. It's like regenerating collagen through heat, correct?
Thermage is, there is a heat component to it, but it's more of like this deep radio frequency.
Yes.
I have had treatments that are like deep heat and you have to be numb to the high heavens because it gets so hot.
Yeah.
But I believe Thermage is more focused on the radio frequency aspect. It was radio frequency then?
Yeah, it is. It's radio frequency, but apparently they've been able to figure out, and I think it has to do with the tip size, maybe. It was so hard because the videos were in Korean, so I couldn't really understand it. And then there's like a cooling, which I don't know if Thermage does too. So
I
it like,
I can't remember if
Thermage does. Okay, so well, first cooling. Of all, they numb your face. They numbed my face. And I was still really, really nervous because I was like, what is on a scale of 1 to 10, like how much pain is it? And he was like a 5. And I was like, okay, but I have
no context.
No context whatsoever. Like I've never gotten Thermage. I barely like get any like painful laser treatments or anything like that. So I was really nervous. But so they do half of your face first. And the woman, you know, is very sweet. And she was just like, if it's too painful, let me know. And it started out, So they put like this cooling liquid and then they take the pen and then they like press it over your face. And then I think when it hits like reaches like a certain pressure, then it almost feels like it takes a picture or something, you know? And then she like does it over like kind of like she's like sculpting my cheekbone, you know?
Yep.
She asked if I wanted her to do my forehead and I asked her not to because I just was too scared because whenever I get microneedling on my forehead, it's like it's so painful. So I was like, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But Stevie got it done on his forehead and so did Yasmin and they said it ended up being fine. So I was like, maybe next time. But basically I would say it was probably like for me, I have a pretty high tolerance for pain, but I would say it was, I was probably like a 7. Like a 6 or a 7. At the worst, it was 7. Once, maybe after the first 10 minutes, it wasn't really that painful anymore. And maybe it was also because of the numbing. It gets to about 140 degrees at its hottest.
Okay.
So like hot, but like, I don't know, not too hot.
Right.
And then they cool it down. And then they did the other half of my face. So in total, it was probably like around 30 to 40 minutes. And then after that, I got a facial and they did the LED light to sort of help. And then I got like a rubber mask, little facial massage, like the whole like Korean facial experience. There was no downtime after. I was not red. And it was hard for me to like see immediately the results. But then Stevie and Yasmin were like, oh my God, your cheekbones are like snatched. Like you look so good. And then, you know, I was like looking and I was like, I guess I could see like my line a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then similar to Thermage, it you're supposed to see results like over the next 6 months. It's something you're supposed to get like every 6 months. So Glow Recipe was very, very generous and they gifted me the treatment. But I think that it is probably a quarter of the price of like what you would get here in the States. So they don't offer 10 Therma, but let's say, how much is Thermage? Do you know? It's like $2,500, $3,000.
Yeah, it depends on where you go, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, ballpark.
So I think that this 10 Therma treatment is probably around like $500 and $600.
Okay. So like way more on the cheap, not affordable, but like the cheaper side.
Yes. On the cheaper side, where I see why people would rather just book a flight to Seoul and get all their treatments done.
Yeah, like all at the same time.
All at the same time. Yeah, because it's like a fraction of the price. So you could do that. You could get all the plastic surgery that you want. But we were in and out of there in like an hour and a half. It was great.
That's crazy. It sounds very much almost like going to the dentist or something. Like there's not like a lot of circumstance. It's just you show up and you know what you want and you're in and out.
Yep. It's like no frills. They play like some music, but like it's not like a true spa experience. But I really enjoyed it. And I wish that I had longer time in Korea so that I could do more treatments. So definitely book a treatment there.
Okay. Now I want to know about your nails because you got an epic manicure.
Yes.
Okay. And I feel like if you're going to get nail art, you should be definitely getting it in Seoul.
Yes. So you have to go to Unistella's nail salon. Unistella is like their most famous celebrity Korean nail artist. She became famous like years and years ago for her shattered glass nails, which I think everyone remembers. Her shattered glass nails moment, I feel like, was during the height of the nail art movement,
yes,
you know, for beauty. Like it was like everyone was like, what can I do to step up my nail game? And she just had like the craziest but coolest nail art design. So it was just like so much fun to follow her. She also famously does all of Blackpink's nails. Like she goes on tour with them. She doesn't just, you know, design on like press on nails and then like puts them on. Like she sits with each of them for 2 hours and does their nails probably multiple times a week. So it's like wild. And if you look at the girls' nails, like it's like part of their personalities, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's just incredibly talented. I had the chance to meet her one time when she was in LA, like probably 5 years ago. So it had been forever since I had seen her. And she has just this super cute, very, very cool nail salon on top of this hill in Seoul. And, you know, you might not be able to get her when you're there, but all of her team, they're super, super talented and you could get like the craziest designs. So definitely hit that place up.
Do you know the cost for a typical manicure?
I would say it'd probably be like between 100 to like, you know, 300 if you get like a really, really crazy design.
Okay.
But you're going for art.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Not like your basic mani.
Yeah. I mean, you could, but like, why would you, you know,
right.
You got to do something fun. And then last but not least, so there is a brand called Gentle Monster in Korea that is known for their sunglasses.
Okay.
And the man who started Gentle Monster like has become like incredibly successful because of the brand and then has started other brands, one of them being a brand called Tambourines.
Okay.
And it is like a fancy perfume brand, and it's very similar to like a Diptyque or Le Labo or Byredo, sort of that feel. But then it's like a little bit, it's got that like Korean edge. Like Korea was just like so cool. I don't know how else to describe it, but like everyone was so cool and fashionable. Like even the men were wearing platform sneakers and they all looked like K-pop stars. They just are really lean into the fashion and technology and beauty. Like it was just so much fun. Like you would have so much fun there. And then also the food. The stores are like very experiential when you walk in. So like you walk into Tambourines and there is this like mechanical horse that looks real. And you're like, what is that? Like, I have no idea. And then the way that they set up like the stations so that you can test the fragrances, it just feels so luxe and modern. And then the packaging of these perfumes and hand creams are just so, so cute and really, really chic. And then to top it all off, the scents. So I was talking to Christine about this and she was like, I think like Asian people really like the citrusy, clean fragrances, like those sorts of notes. And I was like, oh my God, that's my favorite. Like, is it like, that's why I freaking love this store, because like so many of their scents were like exactly that. Like, it was just like so crisp, so clean, a lot of citrus notes, but then like packaged in these like really, really cool containers. And then they were also like not that expensive. Like you could get a hand cream for $20 or $30.
Oh,
I was really devastated because I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and pick up this one fragrance. I got a sample of it and I was like, I need to wear it around to see if I really like it. And
yeah,
surprise, I did. So all of that to say is when you're traveling, just buy the thing.
Yes.
Because you might not be able to go back.
Wait, I'm obsessed with this place. I just went to their Instagram and I'm looking. So they did a collab with Jennie, or maybe she's the face of them.
Yeah. Yep. She's like an ambassador.
Yeah. From Blackpink. But she, I'm looking. So they have this perfume balm that looks so luxe. It looks like a lipstick. It's so cute.
It looks like, what's the brand, Kirby, with the twin sisters? The DJ.
Oh, Simi Hayes.
Simi Hayes. So yeah, it looks a little bit like Simi Hayes packaging, this like perfume bomb. I bought one of those.
So cute. And then even just the perfumes, like there's one called The Shell and it has this kind of granite look. And then there is one that says, it says Perfume Shell X Discovery Set. Find the fragrance that suits you best with the Perfume Shell X Objet Discovery Set. And it looks like they look like shells.
Yeah, they're like little shells. And then the way that you, and the way that you dispense it is you press on both sides and then like a little bit comes out. It's just like just very, everything, like I said, is so cool.
It's very artistic. Cool. I mean, this is so freaking cute. They have this set and it's a perfume soap and tray set and they look like little walnuts seeds,
seashells.
Oh man. This place is bomb.
I know. Cool. So I'm hoping that I think you might be able to shop on their website. And then they have partnered with some retailers in the US. So we'll get our hands on some more.
But the moral of the story is buy sunscreen in South Korea. You got Beauty of Joseon.
Yep.
Okay.
I got Beauty of Joseon. Obviously, like, if you're in Korea, you got to buy the Sulwhasoo. Hera. What else? Peripera. What other brands? Well, obviously, you have to go to Dental Monster and pick up some sunnies. That's fashion, but... And then, you know, all the faves, like believe.
Get some treatments.
Just have a blast and take me with you.
We will have all of Sarah's recs on our Shop My Shelf. So if you're like scrambling to write down these things.
Yes.
You can just click in our notes.
I will
section,
create a list.
The shop this episode and you can go ahead and shop that way.
I will say that Glow Recipe is not available in Korea.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's available there.
They're not, because they are Korean-inspired American beauty. They're not Korean beauty. So you'll have to buy that. Well, you can buy it at Sephora. But thank you to them for taking me. That was seriously like the trip of a lifetime, and I can't wait to go back.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.